As everyone probably knows by now, UTEP is actively celebrating its centennial. And it's at times like these, the benchmarks in an institution's evolution, that we look back at what has caused it to be the institution that it is. So with me are the chair of UTEP's history department, Chicana historian and writer, Dr. Yolanda Leyva, joined by MA history student Gustavo Del Hierro, to tell us about Viva la Causa. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Monica.
Now, lest I forget, there's an opening reception at 2 p.m. today here at the Centennial Museum and Welcome Center, right on the corner of Wiggins and University, near the entrance. And the exhibition that's opening is Viva la Causa, Forging UTEP's 21st Century Demographic. Give me the background on this exhibition.
Oh, I'd be happy to. As we were all gearing up to start the centennial celebration, and especially as the Department of History, looking back at the history of this university, we realized that there was a very important but untold story, and that's the story of the Chicano movement here on campus. And we subtitled the exhibit Forging UTEP's 21st Century Demographic because one of the things that was so wonderful for us was to see how the Chicano movement of the 60s and 70s really did help create the university that we are today, both in terms of demographics, but also even some of the day-to-day services that we provide, like tutoring, came out of demands by the Chicano movement.
Gustavo, how did you become involved in this particular project, and what did you do?
Well, it was about a year ago that I took a class with Dr. Leyva, a research seminar class, and she approached some of the students and asked them if they were interested in writing a paper about the Chicano movement here on campus. And I, along with two other students, started doing research mm-hmm. about this movement. And then later on in the semester, Dr. Leyva came to us and said that she wanted to turn this into an exhibit. And then we found out that it was going to be an exhibit. So our research really was the foundation for this exhibit.
Oh, how wonderful that it became so significant and would have a form of expression through this Viva la Causa. Tell me about the significance of December 3rd, 1971.
Well, December 3rd, 1971, two student organizations. One was La Mesa Directiva, which was the program that oversaw the Chicano Affairs program, and had five members from the community, five members from the faculty, and five members from the student population, and another organization, MECHA.
Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán.
Okay. It's been a long time since I heard that one decoded.
Well, the two organizations had presented a list of demands to then UTEP President Dr. Joseph Smiley, and they had given him a deadline of December the 3rd, 1971, to have their questions answered, their demands met. Mm-hmm. And what happens is on the 3rd, when they go to the president's office to hear his reply, they find out that he's not on campus. He's in Austin meeting with the Board of Regents. And they become frustrated, and they organize a takeover of the administration building here on campus. And it turns into a large gathering. And about, I think the reports have it, at around 3,000 students had gathered around. And they end up calling in the police, and they forcibly begin removing the students. And you have, some would term it a mini riot, when the police begin forcibly removing the students, and you have some of the demonstrators and some of the observers, they begin to throw rocks and hostilities begin to flare. And you have about 34 people arrested, and several students were maced. So, it was a very significant thing because something like that had really never taken place on campus.
What were some of your key resources when you began your research?
I worked in special collections, and there was a lot of files from MECHA and different Chicano organizations. And then I also was able to utilize the Prospector and the El Paso Herald Post and the El Paso Times here at UTEP through microfilm and through a digital archive.
Were you able to interview any of the actual participants in this event?
Well, that's one of the exciting things for me, is that not only do we have these very powerful images from historic photographs, but we'll be showing three videos. One is an interview with Jose Medina, who was one of the leaders of MECHA during the takeover period. We have an interview with Irma Camacho, who is a professor at EPCC, who was one of the students arrested and was very involved in Chicano organizing. And then we have a third interview with Richard Ramirez, who was here on campus, had just graduated, had not been involved with Chicano organizations, but was the demands resonated with him so much that he became involved in the takeover. So people will be able to hear their stories and their words. And, you know, that adds a whole other dimension to the exhibit.
Absolutely. El Paso is such an interesting place. Of course, I've grown up here. I was born in Mexico, came over here when I was just three, and have grown up right here on the border, and have watched all of this evolve over the years. And it's so interesting when you have something like this where, you know, it's a riot per se, and some folks are saying, oh, you know, they're just those damn troublemakers, and other people are saying these are visionaries, these are people who will create change. And it's going to be so interesting to hear the retrospectives. Do you think the people who were there knew how important their role was at that moment in time, or was it an ephemeral outburst to them?
You know, I think they did know how important it was, because Chicano organizing had existed on campus for years at that point. Back in the 60s, there was an organization named NOMAS, New Organization of Mexican American Students. And they were also demanding inclusion as Mexican American students. So on some levels, it was something that came to a boiling point in December of 1971. But in many other respects, it was building for years.
Oh, yes.
And it was something that students and community members recalled for years to come. It was a year later that they did a commemorative march,
they
right?
They did a silent march through campus, and it was covered by the local newspapers. And it was a way of not only remembering something that had happened, but kind of showing that they were still on campus, that they were still trying to change the university to support Chicano students.
Tell me more about what we're actually going to see in the exhibition. What are some of the physical items that you have amassed?
Well, you said the word visionary earlier, and that is exactly a word I would use for some of the items that people will see this afternoon. We have artwork by Chicano artists. Some of the artwork relates directly to the National Chicano Movement, the Farm Workers Union, for example, the Raza Unida Party. We also have some very localized artwork. So we talk in the exhibit about the Alvarado case of the early 1970s, where parents sued EPISD for discriminatory practices and segregation that had gone on through the whole 20th century up at that point. And the court found that there was still discriminatory practices. So we have some artwork about the Alvarado case.
Oh, and the dates are so recent that it really puts a shock through me to think, oh, that was just that long ago? Wow.
Right.
And it used to be such a rare thing. I'm digressing a little bit, but it used to be a rare thing for the children of farm workers, for example, to have degrees and have become successful. Now, not that unusual anymore. There's, thanks to movements like this, these huge changes in one or two generations. That's just, wow.
Right.
So your exhibit, I'm sorry, I interrupted, but it's exciting stuff.
It is very exciting stuff, and it's true that those movements and activism today continue to make changes for the better, in my opinion, to create a more just society, a more equitable society. And you see that the students back then were not just acting rashly, were not just carried up in the heat of the moment, but really, truly believed what they were standing up for. So, for example, the following year, in 1972, students at Isleta High School had walkouts making very similar demands. They wanted Mexican-American teachers. They wanted Chicano studies in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them were suspended.
Yes.
Which was a big price to pay. And a couple never came back to high school. So it's not something that people did lightly.
No.
It's something that people understood what they were potentially giving up.
Well, once that kind of an awakening hits, it can become a burden because a person has to act with integrity, and there's a huge price to pay. What do you plan to do as an historian?
Well, I really look at Dr. Leyva as a mentor in the sense that she's not only focused on, you know, teaching history, but creating sites of social consciousness. She does a lot of work with the Museo Urbano.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's a great contributor to the community because it really helps bring attention to what's going on. And as she once said in a class, our job as public historians is not to speak for people. They have a voice. Our job is to make sure people hear them. And I think that's one of the great things about this exhibit is that we're elevating the voices from back in 1971, and they're going to reverberate in today's society because they do. The programs and the classes that we have today came about because young men and women were willing to take a chance and call for action.
That always receives a mixed response from the general public, and I have to applaud any time someone is able to step up for a cause and see it through. So this is a beautiful thing that you've done to remind us of this devotion that went into. What do you think are some of the issues that remain to be resolved?
So I think still much can be done nationally around education. There's still a very large dropout rate in the high schools of Latino students. I feel very grateful to be working at UTEP, where I often don't experience what I've experienced in other university settings, but more people of color earning PhDs. And again, UTEP really is an exception in this.
When I've stepped out of El Paso, I felt like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, because here in El Paso, we tend to hash it out right at ground level. There's always something fomenting, and that keeps it peaceful around here. But when I've been to other parts of Texas and the country, I've realized, holy smokes, this stuff is real. So this is going to be a fabulous exhibition. I absolutely encourage everyone, if you can't make it by today for the 2 o'clock reception, right across the street from where KTEP is located at the Centennial Museum and Welcome Center here at the corner of Wiggins and University on the UTEP campus. If you can't make it out today for Viva la Causa, Forging UTEP's 21st Century Demographic, do make it out during regular hours, which continue through August the 2nd from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. I want to thank my guest today, Chair of UTEP's History Department, Chicana historian and writer Dr. Yolanda Leyva, joined by MA history student Gustavo Del Hierro. Thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for this exhibition.
Thank you.